A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All righty, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. We're back laboring officially today, talking about all things college football. The NFL kicks off tomorrow. My mind hasn't really wrapped around that yet, but I'm sure when tomorrow I wake up and it'll be like the birds are chirping a little bit brighter, the sun's going to shine a little bit warmer in the sky, and NFL football will be back in our lives. Back-to-back days. What a stretch we have here. From all of the weekend football through last night's game ending at 10 o'clock, an off day today. You need an off day, right? Let's reset the calendar a little bit. NFL football Wednesday, NFL football Thursday.
Yes.
Do we get a college game on Friday night?
I need to look.
There has to be a college game, right? Somebody's got to be playing on Friday night.
Will it be a team we pay attention to, or will it be at Oregon City for Nelson, Oregon City?
Ooh.
Oh, you get the border war. You get the border war, Missouri at Kansas.
Okay. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll have it on. Rutgers plays at Boston College. I actually
You're not,
will be.
No.
I want to see how bad it's going.
The red bandana
game? I just want to see.
I mean, it's the red bandana game, to be fair. Yeah.
Boston College is only favored by three. Why?
I'm going to take Rutgers.
Are you going to take Rutgers? Plus
they're going to somehow win.
Why
that
not?
Missouri's only a 5.5-point favorite at Kansas.
Kansas' stadium, by the way.
Is this their debut of their new stadium? Or
no,
they've been playing in it for a couple.
I think they've still been doing final pieces of it. But yeah,
it's an ongoing renovation. Yeah.
Kind of like Reser was for a few years.
to a certain extent.
A little better than that. Okay. But, yeah.
They got corn in the end zone. That looks kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I'll probably be enjoying more high school football Friday. Enjoyed it last week. I'll enjoy it this week, too. But, yeah, I'll check in to see what's happening.
And then you go into a full weekend of college on Saturday, red zone. 7 hours of not commercial-free football starts now.
Yeah, I told Swag,
here, baby.
I'll be diving into all the college action, right? See how Oregon handles
Oklahoma State. You flip it over at like 9:55 and you get the NFL Films music buildup.
I do a 10-minute countdown.
Oh, you do 10-minute. I do 5-minute.
I usually go to the kitchen and get whatever I want. I turn it on when I wake up. Yeah.
And just leave it on all day.
Yeah.
2 hours of NFL music is a great way to start your Sunday.
I don't need Bill Cowher's thoughts compared to Nate Burleson's thoughts.
You don't want to hear Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson's on those shows now, man. You don't want to hear his takes? Broncos country, let's ride.
I'm sure I'll see a clip and be like, Russell Wilson's actually pretty good at this. Like, why? Because he gave a decent thought for all of 30 seconds?
Nano bubbles, take them before the pregame show. You'll be all right. It is here, ladies and gentlemen. We have officially made it, and we all get to yell at each other about our football teams. And we will do a lot of that in this hour. I want to get back into Oregon State a little bit. We have some Shepherd thoughts post-game that we didn't get to earlier, and has Oregon State found a quarterback? And then also the Apple Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Where is everybody out on that one? If you're on the Husky side of it, if you're on the Cougar side of it, where are people out on that one? And Jed Fish certainly was not happy. He slammed down his headset at halftime.
I think he was pissed after the game, too.
He was not happy after the game, and they had some injuries at running back. So we'll get to all that throughout this hour. We're in the middle of talking about Oregon. Let's hear from the head man, Dan Lanning. Hey, Dan, Why does your team suck so much?
It's almost as kind of a flip side of the last time that we played Boise where, you know, in a lot of ways we won the game with total yards and some situations, but we didn't really win the critical situations. They won some of those critical situations. They played better in special teams than us today. They did better on fourth down. We kind of gave them an opportunity, a chance to hang around. Was proud of the way we were able to attack right before half and put in that touchdown. I thought our quarterback operated really well. I want to go back and evaluate the film, but thought he did some really good things. But to be able to win the middle eight and kind of gain some momentum back, you know, defense, we were just off schedule too much tonight. It was too many second and fives, too many second and fours, especially in situations where they're going to have a go-for-it mentality. And then, again, too many penalties. You have 10 penalties for 90 yards. That's not winning football. So some things we have to clean up. I was happy with our prep going into this performance. I felt like the guys worked hard. We just didn't execute some fundamental things that we have to be much better at.
I think one of the biggest takeaways for people, too, was, you know, we spent all offseason talking about this Oregon defensive line. And we'll get to the coordinators in a second. I'm curious what you guys saw and what you thought on the coordinators' first games on each side of the ball. But one of the bigger takeaways was, hey, man, it didn't feel like your defensive line was as dominant as we thought it was going to be based on the way we talked about it. Here's landing on that after the game.
Yeah, I thought, one, you know, in the first half we didn't do as good of a job really handling their quarterback on the movement. You know, he scrambled and was able to gain some yards. I'm guessing he was close to, you know, one of their leading rushers, at least in the first half, right? We did a much better job caging the quarterback in the second half. I thought we rushed with power, but also some awareness there in the second half. And I thought Coach Hampton did a good job of dialing up some pressures, too, to give those guys some opportunities. They, in some ways, refused to participate in the pass rush game by having chippers and some guys that were really aware of it. And then they hit a really timely screen that they hit the right call on the right play by us, but there was really poor effort across the board, which are the things we can't see. But our pass rush should be a strength for us. We got to get better at stopping the run and doing a better job on first down to give us the opportunity to rush the passer, because when we can, we'll be dynamic.
Biggest takeaway, defensive line play for Oregon this weekend for you, or was it something else?
Defensive line not jumping off of my screen at the start. And, you know, I, to be fair and give credit, like, I thought Madsen was really efficient and smart with when he chose to pull and run.
Yeah, he had a couple of really effective runs in the first half.
That is certainly in the conversation, and I noted it earlier. It was just something that, like, I thought they did a much better job late in the second half, but not seeing it really show itself with the experience they have early surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to ask me, like, overall the biggest area that I have questions about, and it's no different than the defensive line in some respects, I thought their run game was lackluster. I was really underwhelmed with their running attack, and a lot of that's just offensive line based. Their inability to create real big lanes, and it's early. It's a new group. We noted it as we went into the season with them of mm-hmm. the new starters along the line, but also like how they've had slow starts, and then they've gotten it together and become like a finalist for the Joe Moore Award.
Yeah,
I hear that. I don't think that they won't figure it out, but like if we're to take away from 1 week of football, the D-line probably gets the biggest criticism because of how experienced they are.
Mm-hmm.
I was very underwhelmed with the rushing attack of Oregon against a team of Boise State. Not that they're not good, not that they won't make the playoff.
Right.
It's Oregon. We are talking about a team that recruits heavily in the top five of college football high school recruiting rankings and also almost always dominates in the portal. I was really underwhelmed with their offensive line's run blocking.
Yeah, they had a couple of chunk runs in the second half that mm-hmm. I think, to your point, they kind of – it leads Oregon's rushing totals to be a little misleading. Not that those yards don't count. They certainly did, and they helped Oregon score points in the second half. There's no doubt about it.
I think it's why their first half struggles were present. They had a lot of long distances, down distances.
Yes.
Whereas I thought, like, Deerhill and Davidson didn't really get it going the way
right.
I thought they would.
I mean, Davidson had 12 carries for 90 yards. He averaged 7.5 yards per carry. So you look at that and you say, damn, that's a good day.
But he had 40-yard run.
40-yard on one carry. So you had 11 for 50 on the rest of the runs, which is not terrible. But no. To your point, it's not dominating on the ground. I'm with you there. And it was unique. It felt like they came out early in the game and just wanted to be really aggressive throwing the ball. That was kind of their MO. I mean, even get to, and this can connect to the coordinator conversation, they went for it on a couple of fourth and shorts. And what did they do both times? They didn't run the ball.
Yeah.
Now, the play calling stuff leads to an interesting discourse, because I always like pointing out, if you run the ball up the middle and you get it, nobody says anything. If you run the ball up the middle and you get stuffed, people say what? Let's get a little creative here.
You have a Heisman Trophy
Why
candidate.
Are you not throwing the ball here? You got all these skill position players. If you throw the ball and you get it, nobody says anything. If you throw the ball and you don't get it, everybody says, what are we doing run the football? Why aren't we running the football up fourth and short? And so like that is usually a results-based reaction from people in the fan base. And so I have a hard time with those. I'm with you completely. I thought that was one of the biggest weaknesses of them offensively. You know, they had some execution errors early in the game that was limiting drives. I thought when I look at the play calling decisions on the two fourth downs, I didn't hate either. I didn't love them in the moment. And then I went back and rewatched the game later. And I'm like, that's not a bad look. And the first one, you had Evan Stewart coming out of the backfield. It's a one on one. They thought Boise was going to be in zone, I'd imagine, and said they're in man. So it kind of threw off what their call was. And if Evan Stewart breaks a tackle, he gets a first down or just puts his foot in his ground and goes forward, he picks it up. And the other one was they kind of did a little fake option, and it was De'Aaron Hill in the flat, and they just missed a block on the outside. And so those are execution things, and if you execute, you're able to pick up those fourth downs. And I didn't have a huge issue with either of those play calls. That is unquestionably one of the biggest things to watch for Oregon early in the year. It's game one, so there's no large, you know, this is who you will be all season takeaways. They got to be able to run the football, and they got to be able to be balanced. And they did rotate guards a ton. Their offensive line numbers were the tackles played the entire game. They ended up flipping from what everybody thought, where you had Crater on one side and you had Addison on the other, and that was the opposite of what people thought. And Poncho played the entire game, and then they rotated their guards throughout. And so,
and he noted that going into the season,
we're going
to
do it.
This is what I do. I try to find the right group, and when they will, they'll stick with it.
And you're going to need all of them at some point because guys are going to get hurt, and you're going to need depth up front, and that has happened every year, right? So I don't have any issue with that. Keep tinkering until you find the right combination, and maybe that's what's missing to unlock Oregon's run game. They did get creative and got to the edge a little bit more in the second half. There's no doubt that that was a big takeaway offensively. On the defensive line front, it's just I'm having a really hard time with it because on the one hand, I watch the game and my eyes are telling me they're not playing at a high level and I'm getting frustrated. Why aren't they being more dominant? Why aren't they taking over the game? And then I look at the box score and I rewatch it and I go through it again the second time around and I'm seeing a Boise State team that averaged their top two backs. Dylan Riley had 17 carries for 50 yards. That's a 2.9 yard per carry average. His longest run was 7 yards.
Yeah.
Sire Gaines had 11 for 39, so slightly better, but 3.5 yards per carry. And only his longest run of the day was 9. So they didn't give up a single run longer than 10 yards. They held both guys below 3.5 yards per carry. One of them, their top back, below 3 yards per carry. They also created, I want to say, what were the numbers? I pulled them up here. They had, I think, 12 total pressures on 29 dropbacks. And so they had 3 sacks. They had 8 or 9 quarterback hits. So they got into the backfield occasionally at times. And so that was one of the harder parts for me. Of watching the game in real time, I felt like their defensive line was not playing to a high level. And then rewatching it and looking at the box score, I felt slightly differently about it, but they certainly did not dominate the game the way that some people thought or expected them to, and that was a big reason why Boise State was able to hang around. Because as Lanning pointed out, it's a lot different when you're playing every possession 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1, and you're in 4th and go, you know, you can go for it and have a 4-down territory. Any drive that Boise State had where they got stuffed on 1st or 2nd down, you know how it resulted? In a 3-and-out, because they weren't going to convert a 3rd and long outside of the opening drive with a blown coverage. They didn't do that essentially the rest of the game, and Oregon was able to get pressure. And so it was a very weird reaction to the game of in-game frustrated, post-game feeling a little bit better, and now we see where they can go from here, because I don't think they quite lived up to the standards no matter what your definition was.
No, but their schedule allow them to show you where they're going to clean up. I also think they're going to play lesser teams in the next couple weeks before they ramp up into Big Ten play. I know their schedule on paper seems a bit harder, and we'll have to kind of wait and see on some of this stuff because football will injure guys and teams can change.
Yeah.
But I thought overall, like after such a sluggish start and a lackluster showing by the offensive line and run blocking and the defensive line with the pressures, I just thought they kind of settled in. And it's just once in a while you get outcomes like this in games where you look at stuff and it doesn't match the score. And that's exactly what this is. Now, you can choose to be really upset and frustrated or think Oregon's in trouble because they've ended their season the way they have. They have the expectations that they have. Dante's a Heisman candidate. Or you can have a little perspective of saying, this is week one. This is a really well-run program in Boise State. By the way, poll question is up. Should Oregon stop scheduling Boise State again?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Don't be a coward.
I'm a coward.
Come
I don't
on.
Care. I want nothing to do with
Make
them anymore.
Make this game fun. It's great every time. I just look at it as like, This might just be the perfect thing for Dan Lanning, right? He came in talking about how it's a player-led team. They're the leaders. They're the voices. Okay, and then they come out, and what's going on here? We're down 7-0 in the first quarter. 0 points for that offense?
Yeah, blown coverages on the opening drive. You give up an easy touchdown. It's yeah. Like, what was that?
You're losing at half to Boise State at home. Like, oh, my. Josh Pate. Oh, the Richter scale. It's at 6 right now. Upset alert. And I just think it's the perfect scenario because, yeah, it was ugly. Yeah, it wasn't perfect. Yeah, you got areas you want to clean up. You won the game. You're going to play lesser teams the next 2 weeks. You're still experimenting with your offensive line front. And am I going to believe that this is just going to crater off and they're going to lose all their big Ten games? No, I'm not Matt Hayes. I'm not Andy Staples. I'm not eliminating them. It was less a performance than we thought we'd get from them, but maybe give a little more respect to a program like Boise State that came in a lot more talented, I think, than people that cover it thought they would be.
They became the clear-cut G6 favorite out of the weekend. There's
they're
no
certainly
question
in the mix,
about
if not the lead vote-getter for it, right? So they got a big tilt with Memphis in a couple weeks, and some of that stuff will sort itself out. But, you know, when you have a season of expectation the way Oregon has the last few years, we saw it 2 years ago against Idaho and Boise State, and that was certainly eye-opening. But you did it again against Boise State, and some people will panic. I would look at it as like, now it's cleanup time, and they get the next couple weeks to clean it up before you get into Big Ten play to see where they have addressed some of the areas. Does the defensive line come out and jump off the screen right away? The offensive line group, have they figured that, who their starters are, and they're going forward with that? I thought Stewart looked rusty. I thought McClellan showed that he's in the running to be your most consistent maybe receiver. We'll wait and see on that one. And DeCorey Moore with some big pop plays. Dante was good. Clean up your run blocking, and I think you're going to be all right.
Yeah, I thought there was interesting things from Dante in this game, too. His stat line, again, looks incredible. He's almost the opposite of the way the game felt. Like, I'm not saying Dante played bad by any stretch of the imagination. He did not. But if I'm grading his performance, I'd probably give him a B+.
Which was funny because the national broadcast kept talking about how stellar he was. I mean, I thought he was really good.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying. Like, there was still something.
There's moments in games where it's hard to put your finger on it. The opening play of the game, going back and rewatching it, because I felt this in real time.
Yeah.
He did the thing he did against Indiana again. He knew he was throwing the ball to DeCorey Moore. If you go back and watch the play, Evan Stewart runs a slant in the slot. He's wide open.
Yeah.
And there's a bigger gain there. And instead, they threw it to DeCorey for like a 4-yard gain. And that, whatever. Like, you want to, as long as you're not throwing a pick six, just get a completion on the first play of the game. That's all right. I think he has moments where, and I don't know if this is a Boise thing, and maybe it'll change in certain matchups later on in the season. He just kind of gives up too quickly sometimes. He does not have a great ability to extend plays. Like, he had one down around the goal line where they kicked a field goal in the second half, and he got kind of pushed out of the pocket, and he just kind of slowly rolled to his right. It was third and goal, or third and 10 maybe, but they were inside the 20-yard line, and he just threw it away. And it's like, man, you could have bought a little more time. You got these great receivers on the outside. Like, give them another second or two to get open, and maybe you can make a play. And so there's little moments like that throughout the course of the game. He missed McClellan on a wide-open touchdown pass. He threw it up over his head. They ended up kicking a field goal on that drive. So little things like that kind of added up. And then the irony of it is, again, in the opposite reaction I had earlier, that's the most passing yards he's ever had in a game in college football.
And Atkinson was only two behind him.
Yes.
And that was his first game at that level for Oregon State. I thought that was interesting as well.
No doubt.
You know, I don't know what your overall take would be on play calling. That's going to be a big area of concern, or people will highlight that week to week. I noted this, and I understand this is not what happened, but like the way they began the game, you mentioned it early in the segment. I wrote down, like, is the goal here to just make the Heisman numbers pop? Because it
they
just
were throwing
felt
the ball
like
a
it
lot.
Was just Dante, run, Dante. And I'm like,
it's a great game for your Heisman campaign. 378 and three tuds is
no
a good
doubt.
Number to put up.
No, and look,
week one.
All the national pundits are like, oh, Dante Moore, look how awesome he was. He was good. But I saw that was interesting, like noting how much it seemed to be the emphasis of passing. Maybe that's the game film, and that's what it said to do against
or
Boise
a new
State.
Offensive line. Like, let's give them, you know, we don't know if we'll push them early.
At.
Let's,
yeah. I just would have wanted a little more running to get the game going, but I'm not the coach, and they ended up winning the whole thing anyway. So.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see how the offense evolves as the season goes on. I just chuckle at the takeaways for coordinator. I laugh at to a certain extent. I don't know how good or bad Maringer and Hampton will be as the season goes on. I also feel like as fans in the modern era, we have a very hard time
reading a chapter of the book and not some, you know, making a summation of the entire book. That's one iteration of Oregon football. Who they are in week one is not who they'll be in week four, week five, week 10, week 11. Right. And so does the play calling get better? Does he get sharper? You got to figure out what you're working with. You got to find the right combination of offensive linemen. I do think with all even the grandiose thoughts of where Oregon could go this year, mm-hmm. it was important at least to not overlook, like, they are breaking in new offensive linemen. You do have play callers for the first time. There are new pieces at like, there's newness, and it's just going to take a couple of weeks, and maybe they don't live up to hype and expectations. They have a down and disappointing season, but because you were in a competitive game against Boise in week one has no bearing on whether or not that will be the case, I guess, is my biggest takeaway. So Oregon gets a win 34-27, 1-0, but hey, after Matt Haynes' article, can I say?
Andy Staples.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
Andy Staples says you're out.
Nobody's
Get out
giving
of
us a
here.
Chance.
How does Ole Miss win that game and look like that? And he's like, first four out, Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't get that. Also, are we not going to talk about how bad Ole Miss's defense looked? Well, that was the other side of that thing of like, man, yeah. they got shredded by Lincoln Kienholz, however you say his name. So a lot of takeaways from week one. Let's head to Oregon State, man. Have you guys found a quarterback? Is it a moral victory? Are those still a thing for you? And let's hear from Jamarcus Shepherd. We'll dive into that next on The Fan.
What if you can see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. YouTube chat is lively as always. You can go hang out over there, youtube.com/1051TheFan. Everybody's level-headed. Everybody's great. Every team is happy. Every fan base is going to have a great year this year. Things are going wonderful.
I always enjoy when a losing fan base is somehow more cocky and confident than yes. the winning fan base.
Yes, it's certainly a thing.
Somebody Look, wants that Civil War game right now, huh? Don't
oh,
they?
Feeling
Don't
good?
They?
Although I will say the last time we – well, actually, no, last time was last year. Yeah. But 2 years ago for the Civil War, you did talk – not you, the Oregon State fan talked themselves into might have something here.
Idaho, Boise State.
That was on the heels of the Idaho Boise State
game. I remember being terrified by that, actually. I was like, this is not, we're going to be the get right game.
There's going to be a get right game in there somewhere. You just hope you're not in.
Well, I think the most we're probably going to disagree, mostly for the show today, isn't about is Oregon legitimate or not legitimate? This whole don't schedule Boise thing bothers me.
I get it. It's a cowardly
you
take.
Cowards.
I'm not proud of being here. You think I'm happy about this?
Yeah.
That some Boise State Bronco team can come. Some guy walked into my section too. Last note on this, by the way.
Were
I
you in the right
story.
Color? Like, did you? Have
I was
the right...
not. I don't have yellow.
You
I didn't
green
buy.
In
I was green
section,
in
a
yellow
huh?
section. I went into the duck store to try and find a yellow shirt, but then the line was too long, and I didn't want to wait too long, so I just.
You
I
said you it. Had a Teddy thing too.
So this is funny. So the main reason I wanted to take Teddy to the game is the pomp and circumstance beforehand's a lot of fun for kids, right? Like, he saw the duck riding around and you gave him a high five. Like, that was really cool. You go into the Moe Center and they leave a section of the turf open for, like, a kid play section. His kids just running around throwing footballs. We were over there. His cousins were there with us. They're tackling each other, like, having a great time, dude. He's laughing, running around, having a blast. Anybody who has a two-year-old knows getting them to sit still in one place for an extended period of time where they don't really know what's going on, it's going to run its course at some point. And
sure.
for about 80% of the first half, he did fantastic. He wasn't doing much, just kind of chilling, having some snacks. Couldn't see what was going on because everybody's tall in front of him. But he was doing great. Sitting in between his cousins, it was perfect. End of the first half, wife starts to get uncomfortable because she's, you know, about to pop and sitting in one place on a bleacher is not great
yeah.
for a long period of time. So now she's up walking around the concourse. Oregon's down 17-7. Things are not going great. I'm muttering under my breath. He's like trying to basically, I'm sitting on the end row. He's essentially trying to walk down onto the field or walk up the stairs. And I'm like having to like grab him like, no, dude, like we got to sit. We can't do that. He's giving me the no, like the two-year-old's coming out at him, right? And our plan the entire time was, let's go have a great time for the first half, make it to halftime, and then we're going to get out of there because it's just, you know, that's a long day for, he woke up at 6:30. It was a long day. So that was the plan the entire time. They punted at the end of the first half, Oregon did, with whatever it was, a minute and something left on the clock, still 17-7 before the last Boise stop. I'm getting frustrated in my seat. He's not listening. It had been a great day up until then. I'm like, I don't want to ruin the day. That's it. I'm calling it. We're out of here. And so I pick him up. I'm like, here we go. We're going to go wait for mom to go to the bathroom on the concourse. We're done. Oregon's not getting the ball back. There's 90 seconds left. Boise's going to run the clock out. Halftime is essentially over. I'm not kidding you. As we walk down the stairs of the stadium and out of the gate.
You hear the cheers?
Literally walk out of the turnstile. Horn. It goes,
so Oregon had the okay.
Oregon. So they met because we were waiting for her to go to the bathroom. So we're walking around a bit. That's when the Boise State three and out happened, and it made me go even further into the Teddy curse. That literally the second we walked out of the stadium,
good things happen.
They scored a touchdown and then went on to outscore them the rest of the game. Whatever it was, 27-10 or whatever it was the rest of the way.
So we thought your kid was. Like, we gave him still the is benefit, a curse, but I think you're saying it's better when he's not watching.
He still is a curse, But he had a wonderful time. It was great, dude. I just want him to, like, when I was a kid going to games, I loved doing the, like, walking around before and throwing the football around and, like, the tailgate lots and all the bands playing.
Oh,
like,
you can't, the mystique of those college are the things football that, and the atmosphere, and then you see the feel, you're like, oh, I see this on TV, this is cool.
He's got a duck stuffed animal. He saw the duck three times driving, like, dude, that was the highlight of his day. So all that was great, but he still might be a curse. I have not taken that off of his shoulders yet. And then I want to get to Oregon State in one moment. Before I do, shout out to P1 Caden, who just texted in.
Yeah.
Longtime podcast P1. So he's listening back from the start of the 6 a.m. hour because today my wife and I just welcomed a boy yesterday. Wanted to say thanks for being up early with
me.
Yeah. So congratulations. To a P1 on welcoming.
Hope everybody is happy and healthy.
Addition to the family. Oregon State had a new addition to their football team.
Got a quarterback.
And it's a quarterback.
Well, a coach, I mean.
And the coach, yeah. I don't want to overlook the coach here. He went hungry, and his team stayed hungry, to his credit, throughout the course of the game.
They did stay hungry for 60.
And then you got a – do you guys have a quarterback?
Well, we can get into that. Actually, the biggest question I have isn't if we have a quarterback. I want to know what you eat when you starve yourself.
Ooh, what's
and
the meal?
And they want a weather delay, so that's another 30 minutes.
That's a great point.
You know he was starving by the end of that thing.
Yeah, what's the post-game meal? Or did he allow himself to eat anything during the extended halftime?
I don't
know,
because it's a road game. I don't know if they were going to have a meal before they left or if the buses were straight to the airport.
Sometimes those guys, like, it's NBA games, they get you a whole pizza.
Here's a pizza.
Everybody gets a pizza. Maybe that's what he ate.
Personal pizza at halftime.
I was wondering what he... Well, I don't think he ate during the game.
No, they get whole pizzas. Same thing with, like, you know, when you're on the road with, like, college basketball.
This is an easy way to do it.
Hey, you burn 1,000+ calories.
It's either Chick-fil-A or a pizza or a... Right. Yeah.
Let's fill everybody up. Here is Jamarcus Shepherd on his starting quarterback after his debut against Houston.
I thought that he did a pretty dang on good job of... just being a leader out there on the football field. He was calm. He didn't change his demeanor the whole time. He stayed a 7 the entire game and very proud of how he led our football team. I think we had the ball in jeopardy once or twice, though, and so we want to clean those up, pull the trigger maybe a little bit quicker on the seam to our tight end, DC. But beyond that, I thought he – man, he managed the game in a way that I was super proud of him. I was really proud of him for running for that first touchdown, too. You know, that's not really been his specialty to this point, and he did it with the greatest amount of grace, so great job.
Yeah, we talked about that going in. You go back and look at his numbers from Mercer last year. He's not a guy that ever ran the football. It's not a threat, not a part of his game. And so that was the unique thing about their opening touchdown. You're like, damn, okay, maybe I was wrong in my assessment of him. And clearly, to Shepherd's point, it sounds like that's been an emphasis of, like, we're not going to run, you know, RPOs the entire game and zone reads, but you got to be able to tuck it and pick up 5 or 6 yards occasionally if there's a spot or an opportunity to do it. Just like a blowout loss would not lead me to say, oh my God, Oregon State's going to go 0-12 this year. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let one game go, hey, look at that, they're going to go 9-3 this year because they were feisty. But what did we take away? What's number one on our big board from Oregon State covering the spread against Houston?
Covering the spread and coming back, what were they on, 26-7 and making that a one-score game and mighty uncomfortable. You know, I really like, it's impossible to take away not being impressed by Braden Atkinson. Mm-hmm. He was composed. Even in their, you know, their kind of three and outs or their series that didn't last very long, I wasn't walking all like, oh, you know, the quarterback problem. I just viewed it as everything else problem. They can't run the football. Their offensive line is a little bit of a mess. Suffered an injury during the game to it. I like their receivers. They're fine. But if you can't run the football, this is where I get concerned for Braden Atkinson. It's just you're going to get so limited and being held to being a one-dimensional offense that I don't know how long that's going to go. But to your point, Houston, Texas Tech off the bat is tough. And to throw for 376 in your first game on the road at Houston.
Against a ranked opponent.
Against a ranked opponent. And then we'll see what you do this weekend against Texas Tech. That one might be uglier just given what the nature of Texas Tech is defensively. You look at the Pac-12, and I think Boise separated themselves from the rest of the group. Everybody else is in the I don't know pot. Is Colorado State going to be great? Is San Diego State great? Is Fresno State? What are they? Texas State? What are
right,
they? Like,
right.
I don't know what to make a lot of the programs because of their opponents. But you got to be able to eventually figure out if you have a run game. If you don't have a run game, I just think some of this stuff is going to rear its ugly head. Now, I also loved what he said about him yesterday in his press conference. I can't remember what the – just throw it to the studs. He had an acronym for that. I forget what it was, but it was throw to the studs. And I just – I love that. I just get the ball, disperse it out. You have 10 different players have a reception. I think you got to feel very confident in Atkinson's ability, how composed he was, and the coaching staff. All of these areas of concern or weakness, in my opinion, I don't know what their win-loss is. I have a bet with somebody in the office that it's going to be over 3. I think you should feel that way.
I would certainly feel good about that bet right now.
But I think watching a team be down 26 to 7 and come back to make it a one-score game, that's not something the coaching staff was doing a whole lot last year.
No.
So that coaching staff, Atkinson's good, but he needs a run game to complement everything. I weirdly walk out of this feeling better about the coaching staff more so than anything else. And I like Atkinson, but
yeah.
The coaching staff to me was Shepherd and company, getting them to just continue to buy in, not roll over and die on the road. That was a big takeaway for me.
Yeah. Swag, biggest takeaway for you?
Besides, Atkinson and the offensive, you know, plan and scheme looked dynamic.
Do you like Dolan's play calling?
So they weren't afraid to go down the field, but, you know, and Atkinson was smart enough not to just force it, other than they said maybe once or twice when they were trying to come back. But, you know, that big old tight end in the seam is going to be nice to see again. So,
yeah.
But the other big takeaway, both lines, at the snap of the ball, the line of scrimmage moved 3 yards.
Yep.
The wrong way.
He did have a couple of sacks in the red zone, though, to hold him to field goals. Like, there were a couple of moments where you got to the quarterback to limit what could have been a touchdown drive and hold him. That was one of the reasons at the end of the first half that you're like, this thing's not only 19-7, because you kept holding them to field goals to a certain extent.
I think Houston, I'm not a big believer in Houston in general. Like, I think the more so, what do you do against Tech? Because I wasn't overly impressed with their offense this weekend, but they played Abilene Christian, so like they probably don't care.
Right.
But they only scored 33 points.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like I tuned in and caught a little bit of that.
Hammond
like,
only threw for one touchdown.
Yeah, it's odd. We'll get a better test against that and then what they're going to do against the Boise State. But that's, I think, to your point a couple weeks ago, you don't look at that conference and go, well,
can't beat Utah State. They lost to Idaho State this weekend.
No,
right. Can't beat Washington State. Why? Their offense looked horrendous.
Right. And Washington has a good defense. I get it. But
I came away going, okay, which game do I want to go down and like.
Really? That was a takeaway if you want to get down to a game now.
I was like,
this weekend, I'd imagine the crowd would be solid.
Yeah, this wouldn't be the game.
This wouldn't be the game.
This one wouldn't. Man.
I'm deathly terrified of that defensive pass rush.
I get it. You don't want to go watch
that offensive line's going to struggle against Houston. What are they going to do?
That's one of those, like, you want to go, but then if it ends up being a competitive game, you're probably kicking yourself like, damn it, this would have been a fun one to go to. And then if you do go and they get blown out, you're like, why am I an idiot? Why did I come to this game? I should have picked one they could win.
You had somebody reach out. I had a couple people reach out this weekend, and one tweeted and was like, you and Dirt, basically, you're wrong on Oregon State. And I hear it. I totally understand it. What I would also say is I think the coach is kind of telling you some of what me talked about. Told the news reporter during camp, hey, I hope you guys stick with us even when times are tough. Why would a coach say that? What did he say yesterday in his press conference? We're calling year one a foundational year. That, to me, screams we're establishing culture, identity. That doesn't always result in wins. So I don't know how to gauge the win-loss perspective. Do they win five? Do they reach a bowl game? Some might think they win eight. I don't know if I'm there, but I really like the composure of the quarterback. I think you got good playmakers. You need to establish a ground game. And your defensive pass rush, I think, to Swag's point, good point on the red zone. Their defensive line, though, just looked so much weaker.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Against in that totality. They gave up 228 rushing yards on the game. So it's a completely fair
assessment. Hughes, by the way. Welcome back, Mekhi Hughes.
But it was a fun flashback game. You had Mekhi Hughes. You had Trent Walker, who did essentially nothing. He did catch a two-point conversion at the end there. And then
tight end for Houston.
The tight end had a great game.
Overmeyer?
Yes.
Ashton Porter is an Oregon defensive line transfer. I think he had a sack at one moment, if I'm not wrong, in the game. Yeah, I also, like, don't rope me in. I've been a positive Patty over here on the Beavs, man. I'm going to keep being a positive Patty. You got the Jerry Rice Award winner at quarterback, damn it. He was slinging the rock.
Did it change for you in terms of what you think they'll be?
In terms of a win-loss record, yes. I'll be honest with you.
Like my one point, game? Like two games?
I think you're going to a bowl game this year. I think they'll get to 6-6.
That'd be a good year.
There's three games I circled on the calendar going in, and I certainly feel that way still. I didn't think you're going to win on Saturday, although you did cover, and I didn't pick you to cover, so credit to you there. You're not going to beat Texas Tech this weekend. In my mind, if you do, that's awesome.
I mean, talk about a great upset.
Right? It'd be a shocking upset. And after seeing Boise this weekend, again, maybe that's just my program has a bugaboo with them, but I wouldn't pick you to win that game on the road at Boise. My point was the entire time, outside of that, there are nine games on your schedule that are winnable. Do you win all of them? No. Can you win six of the nine?
Yeah, Utah State, Texas State, Fresno State.
Those are all winnable games.
UTEP?
All winnable games.
Montana?
Like, those are all...
At home at 8 o'clock?
That was my whole point. So you got to get through the first 2 weeks, and then everything eases up from there. They were more competitive than some thought they would be in week one. A good first showing for Oregon State. Let's get to the other Northwest schools. What do we make, and how do you feel on each side of the Apple Cup? We'll get to that one, and then some poll questions about the four Northwest schools. Don't forget, Mail Sack, top of the hour. Back after this on The Fan.
What if you can see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. This SEC nonsense won't go away. We'll have a segment in the final hour of the best of the rest, all the leftovers. We haven't talked about Cal. Your UCLA Bruins with a nice win on Saturday night.
It wasn't the game of the weekend, but it was a nice little juicy pack home after dark game.
Final score misleading.
Very misleading.
That was a fun back-and-forth game, and then the wheels kind of fell off for Cal there in the last couple of minutes.
It's week one, so you get some teams that, like Louisville and Ole Miss, was probably the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
From an excitement down the wire.
The fireworks in the second half, scores back and forth,
I don't know what UCLA will be. So much more enjoyable to watch under Chesty.
Without a doubt, dude.
So much better.
I'd have to go look. I'm curious what their schedule is the next couple of weeks. I know they come to Autzen in October. Like, that game all
That's
of a sudden is more entertaining or more interesting, I would say, going into it. But they look good on Saturday night. So we'll get to all the rest of the leftovers, including will LSU still be in the conference next week? Evidently, that's a question we now need to ask. But the last of the Northwest topics we haven't gotten to in depth is what happened on Sunday. Standalone game, 1 o'clock. You turn it on, you're like, all right, here we go. This should be an ass kicking, right? I by the way, hand up, Big Pack picks 0-3 right out of the gate. We're red hot and rolling.
I'm 1-2.
You guys both went 1-2.
1-2.
Yeah, Oregon State
Beavs,
covering.
That was it.
Oregon didn't cover, and Washington certainly didn't cover. Of all the games that I would have been most confident in going in, it would have been the Washington line, just because I didn't think much of Washington State, and I figured, I mean, Damon Williams could eat them alive, right? 10-0 at halftime, got stuffed at the goal line. Jed Fish is pissed. Here's what he said going into the locker room.
Yeah, I'm not very happy about it. We have a half a yard to gain. If we can't get a half a yard, we don't deserve to get in the end zone. And what will you continue to tell your team moving forward?
We got to run the ball a lot better than we're running the ball. We got to hit passes that we're not hitting. We got to continue to play great defense, but we got to score some points. It's embarrassing right now.
Talk about issues and penalties, too.
Most likable he's been, by the way.
Literally, the only way Washington State moved the ball the entire game was when Washington kept hitting their guys 10 yards out of bounds and committing some of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen. So that was a major issue for them as well, extending drives for Washington State. Credit to them for playing a good defensive game plan. I thought Bray did a good job of slowing down the run. What are our takeaways of Washington and Washington State in the Apple Cup?
By the way, thank you to TextBleed. Feed the studs, FTS. Feed the studs.
Feed the studs.
Feed the studs. It's always a good strategy.
Poll question up. Did Braden Atkinson's performance versus Houston make you feel more confident about how the season will go? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague. On the UW-Wazoo game, I'll just say this. One of the worst football games I had to watch this week.
That was pretty
that
bad
was
football.
Brutal.
That
I mean, that
football.
Is. I don't care if you're a diehard Husky, Coug, like that, we have to admit, one of the worst football games to have to watch this weekend.
I think I saw a tweet from a kid, Dick Fain, maybe it was, who said that's the worst atmosphere I've ever been involved in Seattle.
Worst atmosphere.
Like, well, what is there to cheer about? There's nothing.
No, there's nothing. That first half was atrocious. I'm glad I was.
Nothing until the fourth quarter.
At a minor league baseball game, watching that on my phone out of the corner of my eye.
I felt bad for our beloved Elise Woodward. It's her first year as now the lead play-by-play.
Yeah, doing play-by-play.
And that game had to be awful to call.
That's a tough one.
On
the only thing I really take away is it's going to be a long year for Washington State. I don't know that I take anything away.
Why should this not be
UW
reversed the other way?
Did your opinion? What did you think of Washington going into the year?
I would be a little more like, if we're doing the Oregon panic meter today because of their Boise State win, how do you not have your alarms going off about UW? I have what is Washington State this year? I don't know yet. They couldn't complete a pass.
Yeah, I know.
And you
how UW wasn't 10-7. Up, you know, 24-3 at halftime is beyond me.
The game should have been over.
And they suffered. Lamar's going to be out now. They have another running back. They've got multiple running backs out. And you know, all I can go off is what I see. I didn't watch Damon Williams and go, wow, he's so much better.
No.
He made great plays with his legs late in the game outside of that.
He still can't see over the line of scrimmage, and he still can't, yeah.
My big opinion is that if they have a big home game, I forget who's in Seattle this year on the at home.
They got a few of them this year.
If he plays the same way he played last year against the best teams on his schedule, I kind of felt the groans during that game. What's it going to be if they're playing fill-in-the-blank big team and he's doing nothing?
They get their first Big Ten game at home is Minnesota. They get Iowa the week after they play USC. They have Penn State at home in November. Man. And then their second-to-last game the week before they play Oregon. They host Indiana.
See, the Indiana game, I don't want to overlook Iowa and whatnot. Those are tough games, but
in terms of a charged atmosphere, that's the defending champs. That'll be a big atmosphere.
There was you could feel the what's going on here, man? Come on. And I don't know what to make of them. I'm not trying to play favorites. I really believe, if you're a UW fan, you're concerned.
Well, I knew running back was going to be a question for them coming into the year. Some of the guys, I was never that high on Jaden Lamar in his time at Oregon. But he's a fine depth piece for your running back room. And he had some moments at Oregon, certainly. Them losing Jonah Coleman and then Muhammad bouncing in the portal to go to Cal, who, by the way, looked pretty solid for Cal on Saturday night. And now you got injuries there on top of it. Like, to your question of Oregon State's inability to run the football, I certainly understand why that's your fear and where is it going to go from here. You're not playing Big Ten defenses all year, right? Like, Iowa's good defensively, and I know they will be up front. Mm-hmm. Penn State, Indiana.
Might be more improved,
I know everybody thinks Oregon's front sucks, but I think they'll be okay this year. You got to play them at the end of the year. You got to be able to run the football against those teams. And the biggest negative for me would have been Damon did not seem to take any steps in his ability to read, decipher coverages, and deliver the ball from the pocket.
Missed a lot of easy passes in the first half of that game, too.
That's always been the issue with him, is we know he's a freak athlete and he can run around, and he did it to essentially seal the game, right? On a third and long, he's scrambling around and makes a hell of a play, but I knew he could do that. Where are you going to grow and develop your game? And I didn't see a lot of that. They get Utah State this week, so it's another what should be cupcake game, and then they get the Fighting Colin Cowherds coming to town on the 19th before they play our open Big Ten play.
They play themselves?
Colin
Cowherd's a big Husky.
Touche, I forgot. He's a Husky honk now. Eastern Washington will be in town on September 19th, so that's around the corner. So they got it should be easy for them in non-conference, but I said that against Washington State, and that game's 10-7 in the fourth quarter. I do have a poll question up, and we got a bunch of them up now. what fan base feels the best out of the weekend and what fan base feels the worst out of the weekend? Of the four Northwest schools, we can answer those in the final hour of the show. We'll get to the best of the rest of the world of college football coming up at 9:30. Tomorrow will be a very heavy NFL day because the season's kicking off. We'll make our season picks, all that. So we'll have a ton of NFL stuff on the show tomorrow. We'll start the final hour, though, with the mail sack. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. Sports, non-sports, fire them away. We'll answer them next on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.